This morning, let's reflect for a minute on the Lord's teaching on the concept of respect and the concept of authority. For the last year or so, we've been talking a lot about grace, a lot about love, a lot about blessings, a lot about the privileges of being a Christian. Those things are only made possible when we have the right respect for the authority of Jesus Christ. For example, a U.S. fighter pilot, he's flying along in a plane, and maybe that plane has four missiles. Those missiles have incredible force, and he might have four little buttons there, one, two, three, four on the missiles, but you don't just accidentally bump one of those things and a missile goes off. There is also what they call an arm switch. And if that arm switch is off, then the missile button won't work. At least that's in the analog days before they had the monitors and so forth. But if you flip that arm switch on, then the next time you hit that missile button, it goes off. Same thing's true on a school bus, by the way. You've got that stop paddle or whatever, but you throw that thing and the stop paddle won't go out unless you first hit an arm switch that makes sure that you are aware of what you're doing. All of the grace, all of the blessings, all the love, all the promises, those only happen after we hit the arm switch of proper respect for Jesus Christ, proper respect for his authority. Now, what that means when we are talking about respect and why an individual deserves it and how he earns it and how it expresses itself in the mind of God is a beautiful thing and necessary thing. So we want to take 30, 40 minutes and reflect on that respect and on that authority of our Lord Jesus Christ to issue commands as he sees fit. The Bible's loaded with this. Let's take a look at it. Now, back in the Old Testament, for example, God began teaching respect, and he said in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, says, "You will stand up before the gray head." A proverb says, especially if it's found in the way of faith, but any person who is old deserves the proper respect. John and Sam are excellent with this. They walk up to somebody who is old enough to be their father, and they're a little slower to answer them, and they're a little more deferential because they respect what that person has seen in their lives. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." And so they're it is less and less these days, but there are still three or four families here who are old enough to be my parents. I need to be slower in the way that I answer them sharply, whatever. This is a basic respect that God was teaching. Romans chapter 13, verse 2. "Whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed." 2 Peter 2, one of the harshest passages in the New Testament. "You've got some people so low," Peter says, "that they are not afraid to speak evil of the rulers of the country." Now, President Obama, this particular system allows me to work for my own beliefs in the political system of America if I want to. But does that mean I get to sneer and scoff and say ugly things when I'm a Christian? It does not. Daniel loved Nebuchadnezzar, who didn't believe in Jehovah whatsoever. Could you list 100 things to respect about Barack Obama? You better believe you could. I once won a writing job, a freelance writing job, by writing praise about Barack Obama. The list is almost endless. That doesn't mean I might not oppose certain things that he does, but we're not living under Hitler. So, says Romans chapter 13, have the proper respect for the government and people who are politically more astute than you and people who are lawyers and people who know how to get these things done and protect you. Romans chapter 13, verse 7, a Christian pays to all what's owed them. Pay the tax to whom taxes are owed, and respect to whom respect is owed, and so forth. So, is it just me? I mean, every generation says it, but is it just me? In America in 2014, do individuals disrespect government and parents and religion and just about everything you find out there? Our problem is we drift towards a lawless society. This is 25 years ago. Andrew and I were over at the Issaquah Church, and I was driving one of those big 40-foot yellow school buses for a couple of extra dollars. Now, we're talking 1987, 1988. Were all those kids respectful? Some were respectful. Some were the opposite of respectful. And let me tell you, once a school bus with 60 kids in it gets out of hand and they start screaming and yelling and laughing, you ain't getting control back. And so this junior high school kid, 7th, 8th grade, whatever, he comes in there and he expects to ride the bus 3 miles to school. He doesn't want to walk. But was it his $75,000 that paid for that bus? Is he buying the gas? Did he upholster the chairs? It doesn't occur to him that somebody's doing something nice for him and he's got no respect. And that's a problem in God's eyes. See, we need to learn this proper show of deference to authority. Romans chapter, that was in 1987. I don't know what goes on nowadays. I've heard on YouTube you can get some really weird stuff. Kids doing things in the back of the bus, all stemming to lack of respect for authority. That is an ongoing problem. I guess this is a flashing of the Aurora Borealis in Norway, somebody taking a picture of God's great creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his nature have been clearly perceived. There isn't a person who's ever been born who couldn't look just at God's paintings in the sky and say God is really something and could respect him by looking at his creation. And yet, they're without excuse, although they knew God. They knew he's beautiful. They knew he's powerful. There's 10 or 20 things you can infer about God from his creation. Although they knew that, they did not honor, respect his authority. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to them. And then they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish heart was darkened. So this breakdown in authority occurred. Nowadays in America, we sometimes fail to punish the lawbreaker, and so future lawbreakers don't hesitate to break laws worse and worse and worse. This is why authority is so important. I won't turn to it, but you could just, Judges 17 through 21 is a section of the Bible that is there to show us what happens when law totally breaks down. For example, it starts off in Judges chapter 17, and there's a nice group of primitives there living in a valley far from anybody, a very peaceful and harmonious, and 600 guys with sword from the tribe of Dan said, "Sweet!" They actually said, "The land is good." And they just went and slaughtered them all. And the Bible said there was no authority to deliver them. Idea is, you and I don't respect authority properly. You might be surprised that the day comes when you're looking for some authority and don't arrive at that. And then the tribe of Dan, they went over to a ranch, and here's a guy who has a priest, and they invite the priest over, and the ranch owner comes out and says, "What do you think you're doing?" And they said, "One more word, and we will kill you, and we will kill your family." And the guy got very, very quiet. And they took the priest, and then Judges 19 through 20 goes on about the guy who took his concubine into a certain town. They started banging on the door, just like Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. So he tossed out his concubine. "Have her, don't have me." And the folks ravished her all night. He got up in the morning and he said, "Come on, gal, let's get going. Business as usual," after a full night of that stuff. And she was dead. And that part kind of made the guy mad. And so he chopped her into 12 pieces and he sent her into all coasts of Israel. This is God's warning to us. Be careful about becoming a lawless society. Authority is there for our benefit. It's for our blessing. It's a beautiful thing. The angels of God enjoy respecting his authority. The more mature a person is, the less problem they have with authority and with respect. So, it says in, you go to a cemetery, for example. What's respect mean? Certain amount of deference for the sacrifice that is made. Certain show of a decency and order. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, "Do all things without grumbling and disputing so that you prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you live as lights in the world." So this doggy right here, walking himself, there's like an internet meme, and the title of it is "A Strong Independent Dog Who Don't Need No Man." And our society tends to draw an equal sign between strong and will not listen to authority. They might come when you're that peace-dwelling person in Dan, and you get surrounded, and you're looking for an authority to deliver. Everything needs authority. What time are we going to... Everything! What time are we going to close this building? One or two or three? Somebody has to call that shot. Are we going to expand it? Are we going to sell it? Are we going to meet in the gym? Where does authority derive? Everything in our life needs to be done decently and in order and needs that kind of authority. So everything in the Old Testament, when it said, "Thou shalt not steal," that teaches respect for authority as it pertains to property. A kid comes in here, sticks his gum under the seat. doesn't occur to him that Randy and Teresa worked hard to put these seats in and bolt them to the floor, and somebody had to buy them. The lack of appreciation and esteem for what others have done creates all sorts of problems. I mean, that's just a minor example. Thou shalt not lie. Meaning what? You shall respect what? Your neighbor's right to not be misled and taken advantage of. Honor your father and mother. That teaches respect for what? You learn respect in your family. Whether or not your mom and dad are perfect, then you take that out and you become a person who has the power and the weight. So Matthew chapter 28 in verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, Greek exousia, is given to me in heaven and in earth. He's got a rod of iron. Usually a shepherd would walk around with a knob curry, you know, a hard piece of wood where he could hit a mountain lion or something like that if he had to. Now what if he had a rod of iron like a crowbar? There's some guys in here who could probably take me in a scuffle, I'll bet you. I'm looking around at a couple, like this kid. But give me a 24-inch crowbar and have him barehanded, and then who wins? He's not that much better than me that I couldn't beat him up with a crowbar. And that's the concept of Psalm 2. Kiss him, lest he use that rod of iron. Does it make sense for God to be over there and me to line myself over up against him in a war? I've got a rod of iron. Need to stay away from that. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, they sang the song, thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, because you gave your blood. Jesus Christ is worthy of this authority. And we're going to go through this. Philemon in verse 14, Paul told Philemon, he said, I'd like for your slave to be freed, and I'd like for him to be a good Christian brother, and I'd like to be able to use him, but without your mind, I would do nothing. Your faith is necessary. So, but although there's a faith-based system God's given us, let's keep in mind that Jesus Christ can and will set our destiny forever and keep the consequences in mind. There's where our respect comes from. Brother Dwayne and Kathy Brawlier is how you say their last name. Their son is scheduled for surgery in about 8 or 10 days. And those who are going in for serious surgery, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, I've got to monitor you every second. Always occurs to me, what happens if they get a really unpleasant surprise in there? In your heart or in your brain or in your liver or whatever, who in that room calls the shot what to do about a complication? The person who is worthy. Do you and I go in there and say, you know what, connect that artery to that one and you'll be fine? There is some one guy in that operating room who has the authority to fix something that goes wrong. And the idea is he's weighty enough. He has the education. He has the experience. And therefore, he has the right to be paid $12,000 for those 2 hours because of what he's doing. Jesus is worthy of what? Everything. And he has the right to be paid accordingly because he's the appropriate one to be making those calls. That's the idea of authority. Should Benedict Arnold have been the first president of the U.S. or George Washington? Or who was the... George Washington was worthy of running this country. Jesus Christ is worthy of running everything. That's Revelation chapter 4 in verse 11. So, you know, we ask a question. Do I follow Jesus Christ because I like him? Do I follow Jesus Christ because I agree with him? I follow Jesus Christ because he owns the universe. Supposing Jesus Christ decides to give my daughter a terminal disease. Okay, then I stop following him because I don't agree anymore and I don't like him anymore. Matter of fact, John chapter 15, Jesus talked about all those who hate him. There are. Jesus says they have seen and hated me and my Father. They know me very well and they hate my guts, Jesus said, because they don't like authority. No matter how loving that authority is. So this is the nature of what we're dealing with. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, that John just read for us. Under the Son, he, the Father, says, your throne, God, is forever and ever because you're worthy. Verse 9, you loved righteousness and you hated iniquity. Therefore God, the Father, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And you laid the foundation of the earth. They'll perish, but you remain. And they'll be changed, but you are the same, and your years will fail. So just for a second here, let's talk about the idea of an inherent authority. Sometimes it's just natural that one person should call the shots. A lot of different kinds of authority: inherent authority, delegated authority, authority based on your character, authority based on your competence. The authority that Jesus Christ has over you and me is inherent and natural. Here's a couple of get well cards that Jesse and Evelyn made. Who has authority over these cards? I chose to put the tape up and stick them right behind my computer where I can kind of see them as I'm working. I look at them all day, you know, as these kids put these get well cards. Now, somebody gave them the paper. Somebody gave them the pens, let them use the pens, gave them the little squigglies and whatever, and then they gave it to me, and I own it. Somebody else comes up and says, you know, Jesse's card would look better with a verse out of Leviticus on it, and I say, not so, I'm not going to do that. And they say, yes, you are. How do you decide? That's inherent authority. These cards are mine. I'll do exactly what I want with them. Right? You can argue the point with me, but I will call that shot. Everything in the world has some sort of relationship to authority. Jesus has inherent authority because this entire creation, including you and me, including our souls, is an expression of God's mind. That gives him the right. That's why we follow Jesus Christ, because he's the appropriate person to follow. He's got power and authority in his will. 1976 to 1980, the president of the U.S., anybody remember the man? What? 76 to 80? I looked it up, so I have total authority. Is that Jimmy Carter? And he had a daughter named Amy and a wife named Rosalind. And Amy had a school assignment about the Industrial Revolution, and she didn't know. And so Amy went and asked her mother, Rosalind, on what was the sequence here in the Industrial Revolution. So Rosalind Carter asked her aide, find out her secretary, the president's wife's asked her secretary, can you find out the answer to this? And so the secretary called over to the Labor Department. And the official at the Labor Department, and it had a rush because Amy's assignment was due Monday. And so the person at the Labor Department assumed that the president needed this within 12 hours, and he put his team and his computers on it. I forget how many $100,000 it cost or whatever. But Sunday afternoon, here comes a truck and drops the computer printouts at the White House, and Amy takes it to school. And guess what grade the history teacher gave it? C. Who decides what the right answer is? How do we figure out the right way to go? That's the question. The answer is we ask God. In our case, religiously speaking. But people get confused over, you know, like I've told you many times, if Jeff Clark had not found a religion that factors your stupid opinion out of the equation, I would not be religious. And my stupid opinion. I don't want opinions in religion. That's what attracted me to the Church of Jesus Christ, the one true church, is that you don't have to worry about what men think very much. You have to worry about what Jesus Christ thinks. He has all authority. It was already in the 3rd, 4th century that the Roman Catholic Church started changing things and started saying, you have sinned against the church. You only sin against one, and that's God. And so people even ask you today, and they'll say, what does the church teach on this? Church doesn't teach anything. Jesus Christ teaches. That's who teaches. That's the only one that you're responsible for. And so that orientation towards respecting Jesus Christ as opposed to man, church is made up of men, is something that keeps us from getting into all kinds of trouble. Going back to Matthew chapter 28, it's because of his death and resurrection that he reigns. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. A couple of points here. He says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You apostles go out there and you teach. And every time you teach, such as now, such as right this moment, every time that a Christian teaches another Christian, you'd better have a Bible open. He says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever Jeff Clark thinks you ought to do. Is that what that verse says? Teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. People get confused about the basis of authority in their lives. Prince Victoria, not the current queen, but not Prince Victoria, what's the term? Queen Victoria, not Queen Elizabeth, but Queen Victoria married to Prince Albert, and it says they got into it very early after their wedding, and Albert talked back to her, and she started screaming at him or something like that, and he walked out of the room, and he walked into his private quarters, and he locked the door, and bam, 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 bam. Queen Victoria starts banging on his door of his private quarters, and he says, "Who is it?" She goes, "The Queen of England." Door doesn't get unlocked. Bam, bam, bam. He doesn't say another word. Finally, there's a pause. She went away or something, and then there's a little. He says, "Who is it?" He says, "It's your wife." Immediately, he opens the door. We get confused about how to relate to each other and to authority. Queen Elizabeth, it said that President Bush, there was only one person in the world he ever got nervous around and stammered, and that was Queen Elizabeth, who I think is the second longest reigning king or queen in the entire history of England, which goes back, what, 200 years or something? Does she have any real power? Here's a funny thing. Technically speaking, that queen, she doesn't have any real power nowadays, but legally speaking, she can dissolve parliament. She can appoint prime minister. She can declare war. She can have people executed. It's in the laws of England. She just never does it. Every time that parliament passes a law, you need royal assent, even nowadays, 2014 AD, but the queen just always gives it. Guess what the last year was that a king or a queen overturned a law of parliament by refusing to give royal assent? Guess what last year was? 1708. And so the authority of the real king has just died because people ignored it. And nowadays, if she attempted to restore that which was used 300 years ago, there'd be this huge upheaval. 2,000 years ago, when you read the book of Acts, everything Jesus Christ said, book, chapter, and verse, was followed to the letter. But denominations have simply stopped doing that. And they ask what they want. And they ask, is it coffee that will get people in here? Or is it daycare that will get people in here? Or is it rock bands that will get people in here? Nobody asks what Jesus Christ wants. They ask what they want. And that's not respect. And Jesus Christ will correct it in the judgment. Read the New Testament for yourself. Yeah, come celebrate Jesus. Just enjoy everything good that he does without having any respect for his laws. I don't think so. That's not what the authority here is talking about. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name by the authority of Jesus Christ. So, a couple of more ideas here. Let's ask a question. What did Jesus Christ do to earn this right? Okay, first of all, the owner of the Spahn's company, and they both work in the same one, at the moment, it's not going to last very much longer, but Bill is over Sam in that company directory. Now, not only does the owner have the right to do that because he bought the company, but there's on another level, Bill, I guess, has been going at it longer. Although Sam could probably hang a lot more doors in a lot less time and do a lot cleaner. At least he did to my door when he came over and hung mine. But yeah, what did Bill do to earn the right to be a VP in that company? I have no idea. But when we're talking about Jesus, what did he do to earn the right? There's a beautiful passage in Revelation chapter 5. Let's take a look at it here just for a minute. We'll read about 8-10 verses in Revelation chapter 5. Why do we follow Jesus Christ? Yes, because the Father said to, but also this, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. This represents the purpose of God in getting us all to heaven. This represents salvation. This represents taking all our sins and erasing them so that we can enjoy these grace and blessings. And I saw a strong angel saying, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. Now, that's very important. A lot of times people say that we take Lord's Supper, Jesus could die for us because he was sinless. That's necessary, but not sufficient. A lot of angels are sinless. They couldn't go to the cross. Hebrews 7:14 says it's also after the power of an endless life. like an atom bomb going off type thing. So he says in verse 4 of John, I wept much because no man, he's including angels here, was found worthy to open and read this book, to key off the plan of salvation, even to look at it. One of the elders said, don't cry. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And John spins on his heel to see the lion, and instead he sees a lamb. It was from the moment that Jesus went to the cross and went to the tomb and came out of the tomb that he settled a thousands-of-year-old argument between God and the devil and the accusations. There's a man named Bresser in World War II and another guy named Skinner. And they were lifelong buds, and when one joined the army, the other joined the army with him. But, you know, they even went over towards across the Pacific towards wherever they were deployed in the same boat, but then they got separated, and the Skinner guy got captured by the Japanese. Were the German war camps bad? You might be surprised. Sometimes the Japanese war camps were worse.
Amen.
So all this time, Bresci is thinking about his friend and what in the world is happening to him, and he volunteers for a particular work detail in the hope that someday he'll run into his friend and be able to do something for him. And then the day came when the Japanese allowed Bresci's unit to inspect a concentration camp, and Skinner's in there. They gave him 5 minutes. And he writes about it. You can look it up on Wikipedia or whatever you want. And Bresci he comes up to the fence, if I remember this right. Bresci yells through the fence and says, I forget his name, Albert or whatever. Albert Skinner, are you in there? And then out of the shadows comes this guy, full-grown man, and at the time he weighed 79 pounds. And Bresci writes, he had malaria, he had scurvy, he had beriberi. There had no American ever made it out of Zero Ward alive. You know, and Bresci had a scarf around his neck with his class ring in it that he'd been hoping to wheel and deal for something. And now he knew what he needed it for. And he says, take this and wheel and deal with it. And the guy wouldn't take it. And so he flicked it through the fence and walked off. So Bresci, 2 weeks to live or whatever it is, takes up the class ring, and he picks the kindest guard in the concentration camp. I could see where there'd be uglier and less ugly guard. He picks the ugliest guard, and he comes up to him a couple of days later, and he throws the ring through the fence, and the Japanese guard lifts over and looks at it, and it's kind of a pretty class ring, and he goes, is it worth anything? And Bresci says yes, and the guy walked off. Next day, though, he gave him a sulfamide tablet or whatever it was to deal with one of those diseases, and the next day he gave him a lime. Next day he gave him clean pants and canned beef. 3 weeks later, Bresci was on his feet. 3 months later, he was able to work, so he's transferred out of Zero Ward Camp, the first American ever to survive that particular concentration camp. And he started working. They met up later, but the guy almost refused the ring. Now, supposing Bresci and Skinner run into each other in America, and Bresci won't give his Savior the time of day, what would you think of him? Jesus has authority because everything wrong you and I have ever done, Jesus went to that cross just as though he were the worst serial killer who ever lived, suffered all the same punishment. To refuse to be baptized into water for remission of sins, knowing that, would you call that disrespect? That's why Jesus, behold the goodness and the severity of God. Goodness towards you if you submit and obey. But severity, if you need to be cast, what Jesus do to earn this right? His sacrifice. It wasn't a military thing. He gained a right. He put an end to the argument through the cross and through being raised. A couple of more beautiful pictures in Revelation that talk about how the angels love Jesus Christ and willingly bow the knee to him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, there's war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And verse 10, a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation. As Jesus said, how do you spoil a man's house? bind the strong man, then you can tear up his house. That's what Jesus did to the devil. That's why they won this battle. Now is come the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser is out of here, who accused him day and night. That's how he overcame through the cross. How we overcome is in verse 11. Christians overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by their confessing Jesus Christ, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. All of that pain and horror and war took place until the cross of Jesus Christ, and then that victory took place. Does that give him the right to call the shots? So I don't care what you're talking about. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, in all things Jesus must have the preeminence. If you're talking about the kingdom, then he is the king and we are the subjects. If you're talking about the church, then we are a body and he is the head. If you're talking about a vine, then we are the branches and he is the vine. We get our life-giving, nourishing energy through him. It all happens because of Jesus Christ. And so you can't take any one thing. You can't say the five acts of worship that he authorized, let's add number six. Because who are you to speak up against the word of Jesus Christ? Who am I? I don't have the right to say one thing Jesus Christ didn't say. I don't have the right to implement one thing. Supposing Jeff Clark comes in here and says, brethren, I got a great idea for worship item number six. It's blasphemy. And yet, how many of our friends in the denominational world have even considered this question of the authority of Jesus Christ? The church is authorized to do three things with its money, three things with its resources, three things with its time. It's authorized to preach the gospel to the lost, it's authorized to teach the word of God to the saved, and it's authorized to take care of food and clothing for needy Christians. Those are the three things that Jesus Christ authorized them to do. How about we pay for a softball team with it? The plan of salvation itself, hear and believe and repent and confess and be baptized. That's what Jesus Christ thought of. Somebody else thinks of something else. Which one are you going to go with? That's the authority of Jesus Christ. Christ said, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and my sheep know my voice. Lowell used to talk about a sheep that he had that was like a dog to him, and he'd come home from school, and the thing would be four football fields away, and he'd say, here, Peter. I don't know why you'd name a sheep Peter. I think that was its name, though. Sheep would come running over the hill. Lately, scientists have begun to think that sheep are smarter than dogs and maybe smarter than monkeys in some ways. They've got a cerebral cortex that's very similar to the human mind. You can take a sheep and test it, and 2 years later, it'll recognize a face that did something mean to it. You put a sheep in a maze, and it'll go through a maze faster than a monkey will. And if you block it off and cheat, the sheep will get more emotional than the monkey will. Sheep are pretty intelligent according to the literature. You can ask the farmers for firsthand confirmation. Jesus says, my sheep hear when I talk. Anybody listening to Jesus? That's why all these verses in Corinthians that we've talked about lately, where anybody teaching the word is an ambassador, it might as well be Jesus Christ standing there saying these things, provided that the person saying them is sticking to book, chapter, and verse. Those things become just as important. So we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We decide for ourselves. One more, you know, so it doesn't matter how big and tough the devil is. We're perfectly safe under the protection of Jesus Christ. I just kind of thought that was a cool picture. Probably shouldn't even worry about it. All right, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. One last beautiful picture here. So I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Another thing about his authority. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. That's one of the great things about Christ's authority is he never gets anything wrong, don't you think? You can count on him to get it right. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, one of the greatest statements about the church, Paul said, I pray that you might get it. I pray that your eyes might be opened. I pray that you might see that the church is the fullness of Jesus Christ, the fullness of him who fills you up. That is the most important thing in the world to him. And when it destroys the church of God, he will God destroy. And you destroy the word of God by turning it from something God designed into something man designed. That's the way you destroy it. That's so many fine brethren who start talking like every denomination is loaded with Christians and the Church of Christ is just another denomination. That is not what Jesus Christ would have told you. It's not what Paul would have said. It's not what Peter would have said. It's not what the New Testament says. You want to take a blank piece of paper, start over, read, and you'll see how important it is to Jesus Christ that we dispense the medicine as written, book, chapter, and verse. Because Jesus died for it, paid for it, he bought it, and he has a right to make those decisions. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus Christ said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. So go out and teach them all things I commanded you." Let's stay true to that principle so that we can be pleasing to Jesus Christ and enjoy all that grace and blessings and love that he has in store. If we can help you with that, come forward as we stand and sing number 343. John?